Blog Talk Radio.
Northwest Arkansas. Oh, got a little rain going on outside. Actually got it feeling good, just the way I like it. I just wish we didn't have the rain. Give me 72 degrees and I'm a happy camper. Oh, what is going on? OJ, back in the news today, second day of the trial. Trying to get a retrial, and from what I've been listening to it today, and if I was a betting man, I'd say he's going to get a retrial, because just from the way he's describing everything, it just sounds like, you know, his attorney for his robbery trial, you know, kind of jacked him over. Just from the evidence and the testimony I've heard, OJ wanted to testify. People were telling him, hey, it's your stuff, you're entitled to it. And so, you know, everything else is what it is, what it is. So, anyway, we'll be keeping an ear out on that, because, you know, I still kind of like OJ. You know, he's displaying, today he's displaying the personality and the attitude that made people fall in love with OJ. So I don't know if it's a ploy to get his butt out of jail. But, you know, that's what's going on. Phone lines are open. If you want to call in today, 347-326-9073. If you want to make if you have a question or a comment, you can go on my Facebook page, Gregory Squirrel. That's where you can find me there. I would give you the Twitter address. We don't have the Twitter up and running today, so. But we also have the chat room. XFIMMA is in the chat room. There's a ton of what them guys are up to. But I know they're getting ready for a hell of a show coming up at the end of June. The 29th is the date. And, we went over the fight card yesterday. I kind of gave my predictions on some of the fights I had knowledge about. Hopefully, as we get closer to that show, we're going to be able to get some of the fighters from XFI on the show. XFI, they have their own show too. XFI, Tuesdays, straight up 12 noon. So if you're a fight fan in the Northwest Arkansas and the River Valley area, check those boys out. Clint is funnier than an outhouse raccoon. Or is it outhouse rat? Outhouse rat. I don't know why I got raccoons on the brain today. I think I'm because I almost ran over two last night. But, you know, Crazy Clint over there at XFI MMA, he is funnier than an outhouse rat. So make sure you go out and check them out. They do a great show. And naturally, they'll give you some more information getting ready for that big fight coming up June 29th at the Fort Smith Convention Center. Tickets are available online. You go to Extreme Fighting Inc., go on their website. They will get you hooked up with some tickets. They're not wasting any time. We're going to the phone line. Who is on with us today?
Squirrels, Clint Davis.
Hey, Big Clint, we were just talking about you, my man.
You know, I noticed that, so I wanted to jump on and let the fans up in your area know that they can go to the XFI.com xfi.com/events. They can click on the events tab when they get to the xfi.com and click on Extreme Infinity, dated for June 29th of this year. We've got a little bit of information there. The tickets are on sale on May 18th. That's this coming Saturday. And we've also got the fight card posted. We had a big show yesterday where we talked with Aaron Cobb, the president of the XFI, who books all of our fights. He has got a stacked fight card for this event. We've got four professional fights. We've got four title fights. And we've got a ton of amateur fights. We've got people making their debut. We've got a kickboxing fight. We've got a couple of females that are going to get in there and duke it out. And it's loaded. It's loaded down. So go to the xfi.com, click on the events tab, and click on Extreme Infinity and check it out. If you're going to make your way down from Northwest Arkansas and coming up next month.
Right. Well, I was looking at the card. And, I mean, you got guys, it's like in the pro division, Justin Juice Short.
That's right.
I mean, not a lot of people know, unless you've really been keeping track with XFI, he actually tried out for the Ultimate Fighter.
Wow.
And I haven't talked to him since then. But so I really can't tell you how far he progressed. Naturally, you know, I didn't see him on the show. But, I mean, that just shows you the caliber of fighters that are appearing on this show. When you got guys like Justin Short, like I mentioned, you know, he tried out for the Ultimate Fighter. And then you also have guys like David Grayson. That guy has more Naga titles than Jimmy Carter's got little liver pills. I think at the last count, David Grayson had like 15 or 16 different Naga titles, because he travels all over the United States fighting in these Naga tournaments, and it just seems like every time he's coming home with another belt for his collection.
Yeah.
I keep telling David, I said, David, if you don't watch it, your belts are going to find up at Cash for Gold, because he's got enough of them. So,
yeah, oh yeah, I definitely. Mean, he's a beast. You know, mixedmartialarts.com has David Grayson listed at 6 feet 2 inches and 290 pounds. So I mean, it's just he's a monster. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, he's a beast, and he loves to get in there and fight. Now, I'd heard that Garrett Cox fight was off.
Well, it is. You know, Garrett Cox had to pull out. He's had some personal issues go down, and so you know, we were talking about Justin Short Juice, and Justin Short's actually going to be fighting Rodney Allison, who was supposed to fight Garrett Cox in the first place.
Right, right. Rodney Allison's no slouch, and you know, Rodney Allison is probably one of the best in the area. I've over the last 3 or 4 years, I've had the pleasure of announcing some of his fights, and I mean, Rodney Allison, he don't slack off. He brings it 110%, and whoever he's in the cage with, they better be ready for a tussle, because it's going to happen.
Yeah, you know, these guys out of this Redneck Fight Club around here, they're going to be hard to overcome, and we've got a couple of them showing up on this fight card. So, you know, Chase Smith is going to be on this as well, and you know, it's not going to be an easy battle. You know, and going back to David Grayson, you know, he's going to be fighting our heavyweight champ Chris Brookfield, and you know, Chris Brookfield is you know, there's no playing around with Chris Brookfield either. That is one big monster of a dude as well. And, you know, it's going to be interesting. There's several fights that we've got lined up that look like they could go on to be the fight of the night. And some of these are going to definitely have the knockout of the night in the mix, too. There's just so much lined up that looks amazing so far.
Oh, yeah. And that's what a lot of people, you know, people need to hang around. I mean, once that final bell's over, that's not the end of it, because, you know, they give out awards. I keep saying we, because I was a part of XFI for so long. But
right.
They give out the knockout of the night. They give out the fight of the night, and they give out the submission of the night.
You bet.
And so I definitely encourage the fans, you know, you want to hang around and you know, because a lot of fans have their opinions. So, you know, you definitely want to hang around and see who gets those awards. Now, are we, I know I mentioned it, that we had mentioned it the other day, and then you kind of jumped back a little bit about me coming back. Are we allowed to expound on that anymore?
You know, nobody said anything about it. Whenever I mentioned it on the show, you know, I didn't get any emails or text messages and say, hey, that's still a secret. You know, I think the secret's out. So for everybody listening, Greg Squirrel is headed down to Fort Smith on June 29th to do more ring announcing for Extreme Fighting Inc. So, you know, we're glad to have you come back. I mean, I think it's going to be exciting. And, you know, you and I finally get to hang out for the first time. I mean, we've talked plenty of times.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, I'll be there early in the day and you know, helping to get everything squared away and set up. And, you know, we're going to, my buddy Wojak and myself, Wojak, he's a radio DJ in this area. And, so we're going to be doing color commentary, for the fight, you know, for the DVD that comes out. So, you know, we're going to have our,
awesome.
Yeah, you bet. We're going to have our hands full that night. So we're going to be setting up cameras and sound and I'm probably going to do a radio show live from the event right before it starts. And, you know, because we've had almost 3,000 listeners in 3 weeks of doing this show, and
man, that is, you know, that's awesome. Because I was happy to see the success your show's having. So I actually went back and looked at my numbers because, you know, I've been doing my show off and on for about a year and a half now, and I got over 6,000 listeners myself.
That's awesome.
So,
that is awesome.
So I mean. For a couple of guys just having fun with a sport that we thoroughly enjoy, I think those numbers are great.
Yeah, I definitely think it's a testament to the fan base that we've got around here. There's so many people, you know. And speaking of that, we've got some guys that are coming down from Northwest Arkansas. Talon, Team Talon is up there.
Right.
There's another team, and I forgot the name of it. I wish I'd have written it down. But there's a fighter, Chance Moore, that's coming from Northwest Arkansas. And so, I mean, we've got a challenge out. I don't know if you caught the whole show yesterday or not, but we've got a challenge out to any fan in Northwest Arkansas who likes these teams and likes these fighters to come down and check this show out. There's so many people that we haven't seen from Northwest Arkansas. We want to make sure everybody comes down. It's an hour drive and a $25 ticket. So,
right. And you know, and that really surprises me. But because I know for the longest time, Fort Smith was a hotbed. You had three different promotions going at one time, but yet you never really heard a lot out of the Northwest Arkansas fans.
That's true.
I don't know what the deal is.
I don't think that we've actually had a good enough platform to get the word out. I mean, it's always been word of mouth. You know, and I understand, you know, a couple of guys talking on internet radio is also word of mouth, but we're reaching thousands of people at a time. And, you know, I mean, when you get to have a platform like a radio show, you know, and your friends listen and the fighters start listening and their friends start listening and then more fighters start listening and then you get fighters from out of town who start listening. You know, I told addressed Chance Moore on my show yesterday and said, man, if you're listening, I want to get you on the show. I want to talk to you. I want you to be able to address your fans, you know, because he can take a copy of the podcast and he can put it up on his Facebook later, and everybody
exactly.
in his area can listen to this and they can all come down on June 29th. You know, we've got so much bigger of a venue now at the convention center.
I was looking at the diagram of the tentative seat set up for the Fort Smith Convention Center, and I'm just like, wow.
it's going to be amazing. You know, we're they'll have to call us at XFI to see about ring at the, you know, cage side tables. But you know, premium seating $35 in advance, general admission $25 in advance. If people wait and come down and buy a ticket the day of the show, they're going to pay $5 more. So, you know, I encourage everybody to get in touch with us. Get on thexfi.com/tickets and find out how you can purchase your ticket, you know, before the event starts. That way you don't have to pay as much on the day of the show. And, you know, we would love to have anybody, you know, even up in the southern Missouri area, anybody who can make that trip just jump on 540 South and make the trip down to Fort Smith. And we want to encourage everybody to come down.
Right. Well, you're talking about, I've often wondered why they haven't had a Battle Wars. I mean, take some of the top fighters in Northern Arkansas, because, you know, there's other promotions over in Batesville, down near Little Rock, Hot Springs. But I'm wondering why the two top promotions in Northern Arkansas and Southern Missouri, I started to say Illinois, I'm like too far north, Southern Missouri, Northern Arkansas, let's put on a show, let's put the top fighters and, you know, get a trophy or something made up, and, you know, kind of like the Arkansas LSU game, the battle for the boot, you know.
Yeah, definitely. I think that would be a great opportunity. And like I've said before on my show, never say never in this business. You know, that may be one of those ideas that is a great idea, and maybe we can get the ball rolling on something like that. And, you know, I know I can mention something like that to our front office and see how everybody feels about something. You know, it'd be kind of like a bragging rights type of thing, you know, do it, maybe do it once a year and do the battle for the trophy or the battle for, you know, whatever's on the line or battle for the belt,
exactly.
You know, I mean, it'd be a great opportunity.
Oh, I do too. I mean, I'm excited about being back at Fort Smith with XFI. And like I say, when we went down to Card on our show yesterday, and once again I hit on some of the fighters that I know about and gave my opinions on those, and then we had somebody calling in, and I'm not even going to get started on that again.
Oh, that was ridiculous. You know, I feel so sorry for people who want to do that. Somebody, you know, these people, they feel like they are boosting themselves up, but it's just an anonymous peon who decides that they have absolutely no self-respect for themselves or their families, and it shows that the people who raised them are not up to par. So, you know, the people that want to call in and throw out an FU or something like that, man, I will eat their lunch. I hope somebody does that on my show. I will go there. And, I'm sorry that it had to happen to you. But honestly, when I heard that, I was listening early this morning. I got to catch the show from yesterday. When I heard that, I just started laughing. And I wasn't laughing at you or the show. I was just laughing because things like that have to happen. That's like somebody running through a parking lot and keying a car. It's third grade. It's ridiculous. And I feel sorry for the people that have to do that stuff.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that's the drawbacks we face on our forums, that we don't have a 5-second delay where we can delay that stuff out, you know.
That's right. No bleeping or anything. But, you know, I hope that puke is listening right now, because I got something for you. I dare him to call in while I'm on here.
Well, I'm going to keep you on. Hey, let's keep you on here, Ben. Well, I'm going to keep you on here. And if the guy has the testicular fortitude, you know, come on in here.
Yeah, I tell you, you know, people don't know this, but I'm like the Rock on a microphone. You don't want to get into a war of words with me. It's something that you may look back on later and go, man, I just got dominated on a radio show. So, you know,
yeah,
this,
my lunch just got eat.
Yeah, it's one of those things. But, you know, back on the subject of what's going on here, there's so much, you know, I you're going to be surprised when you come back down here. And the reason why is because XFI has grown by leaps and bounds already. The company's getting bigger. We've got more fighters. We've got more fights. We've got more teams coming in. People are dying to be a part of this. And, you know, like I said, tickets aren't even on sale until this Saturday, May 18th. But we've already had people beating the doors off the place to get tickets. And they're not even on sale yet. And that is so good, because I've been hitting on tickets for a month now. I've been blasting tickets all over social media, on Twitter, on Facebook, on the radio show. And it's working. You know, there will be no excuse on June 29th for people to say, well, I didn't know about tickets. Oh, yes, you did. Everybody knows about tickets. And so, you know, we're going to have our fighters making sure the word gets out there, and our teams and these gyms around here making sure everybody knows about tickets. And but yeah, you're going to be pretty pleased when you come back down and check this out.
Now let me ask you this, and I hope I'm not opening up a can of worms when I ask this question. But do you think the reason that XFI is able to step their game up now is because they don't have the competition anymore?
You know, I honestly don't feel that way at all. I feel like, you know, and everything I say goes back to wrestling because I've been such a wrestling fan. If we had a WCW to our WWE, I think that would be a wonderful opportunity. But you know what? Nobody wants to go toe-to-toe with XFI around here. Nobody does, and nobody can. XFI has stood the test of time in the River Valley when nobody else has. And usually right about this point in time in a company's career, they start dropping off a little bit. XFI is not doing that. XFI is growing. You know, if we were fizzling out, we'd be back at the event center with 50 people in the house. You know, there's just so many things that we've done. I mean, we've gone from, you know, from the event center to the expo out at the K. Rogers Park, and then to the Phoenix Expo. And now to the convention center. So, I mean, it's just – it's getting so much bigger. And before you know it, I mean, we're going to have enough projects out before long that it's going to be the best thing going. And I don't think there's anybody that's going to be able to compete. I'll just say this right now. If somebody in the River Valley does want to step up and try to put something together and go toe-to-toe with XFI, I mean, good luck to you. Because there's so many of us with XFI who – are going to do everything we can to propel XFI forward and upward. And, I mean, we're going to smash the competition. So, you know, just like the battleground, the border wars you were talking about there a minute ago, I hate to say it, man, but we've got the best fighters in this three or four state area. So, you know, I would welcome an opportunity like that to put ourselves up against other organizations.
Right. All right. Now that's going to lead. You mentioned the wrestling, so that's going to lead into my next question. Monday Night Raw.
Oh, it was amazing.
You were there. You were in the BOK.
You know.
The only thing I'm going to hate about that place, I would hate to see some Orientals by that place.
Now, why is that?
Well, could you imagine them changing the name from the Bach to the Walk?
No, that never even crossed my mind, but that's funny you mentioned that. It was kind of surreal for me because I grew up right next door to an old Pentecostal minister and his wife. And, you know, my mom and dad were teachers for 38 years. And while they were gone or at school, this Pentecostal minister's wife used to watch my brothers and I. I've got two brothers. I've got a twin brother and I've got an older brother. And so they used to take care of us when my parents were gone. And the older man, the minister, I'm talking early 80s, 84, 85. I mean, I'm 3-4 years old. And I remember sitting on that dude's lap and him turning on the Saturday night main event. And
watching
old school WWF. I'm talking before Hogan jumped on board. You know, I'm watching Sergeant Slaughter. I'm watching Pat Patterson. I'm watching these guys that I didn't know back. Yeah, Rocky Johnson. I never thought that this would be something that would be epic. And my entire life, I have grown up watching wrestling. I have a hard drive here, right here on this computer. I'm looking right at it. I've got every Monday Night Raw from 1993 when it started until 2003, right when the Attitude Era started fizzling out.
Right.
I've got every episode of WCW Monday Nitro from its inception in September of 1995 until it ended in April of 2001. And I have cycled through these at least twice already.
Wow. Yeah, well, you know, I got the same similar story because, you know, I got two older brothers. And, you know, kind of like you, we grew up in the 70s, 10:30 on Saturday night watching WCCW, the Von Erichs out of Texas.
Right, you bet.
And then there was the old Mid-South out of Tulsa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Cowboy Bill Watts and the crew. That boy is funny, by the way. I got to meet Bill Watts. I got to meet Bill Watts a couple of years ago. I was ring announcing a cage fight event over at Bigsby, Oklahoma, and Bill Watts and Danny Hodge were both in the house. And I'm sitting there like doing everything I can to keep from marking out on them. But I got the funniest laugh out of Bill Watts because we were talking. And we were talking about some of the old feuds with Akbar, Skandar Akbar, and some of those guys. And out of the blue, I just popped up and I said, "Hey, Bill." He said, "Yeah." He said, "Do you still have that Midnight Rider mask hanging out in your trunk?" he says, "How do you remember that?" I said, "Man, I was a Bill Watts fan back in the day."
Yeah, no doubt.
But I got the same similar story. I had a grandfather. And, me and my older brothers, Eddie and Steve, we ate, if it was wrestling on TV, we were watching it.
Yeah.
And I remember my grandfather, he's like, "Oh, man, I don't see how you boys stand that stuff." Well, my oldest brother ended up living with my grandparents his senior year of high school. Well, sure enough, who turned out to be the biggest wrestling fan of us all? We would be at my granddad's farm, and it'd be like 4:30, and he's like, "Hey, boys, we got to hurry up and get home. Wrestling comes on in 30 minutes. And, boy, there's Rick, Jesse Yard Dog, Ronnie Garvin, the rock and roll, Ole and Arn Anderson. And, my granddad's right there with us.
Yeah.
And me and my brothers are like, you call us being bad? Look at you, granddad."
Hey, I'll tell you a story here. We had have you seen this local wrestling promotion? We've got Traditional Championship Wrestling, TCW.
Traditional? Well, I haven't. I actually did the pro wrestling thing for about 10 years.
Well, TCW has they do a lot of shows around here, and I got a phone call one day from a gentleman I grew up down the street from. And in fact, I coached two of his kids in Little League basketball. And this gentleman calls me up one day and he says, "Hey, you're a wrestling fan, aren't you?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Did I tell you what I'm doing these days?" And I said, "No." And he said, "I saved up money for my youngest son to go to wrestling school. And then when he got out of high school, he said, 'Dad, I just don't want to do this.' And so he said, I decided to take that money and go to wrestling school myself." This man's 50 years old and is chiseled like a 20-year-old. So he goes to wrestling school, and now he is the manager for one of the premier tag teams in TCW. And so I started traveling with this guy, going to different locations, wrestling in Clarksville, Pine Bluff, all the shows in Fort Smith at the time. And we go to Pine Bluff one night, and I met Jake the Snake Roberts. I'm backstage because I drove this wrestler to the event. He rented a car. I said, "Hey, throw your bags in. If you'll let me go with you, I'll drive you up and back." So I drove him, and I'm sitting backstage, and Jake the Snake comes walking in with his manager, and that was probably one of the craziest things that I've ever witnessed live. But here's the best thing that ever happened to me as far as the wrestling business goes. One of our guys has beautiful Bobby Eaton is in this promotion.
Right.
He is a part of TCW, and I'm sitting backstage one day with the keys to this rental car, and Mr. Rich Rude comes out and says, "Beautiful Bobby Eaton needs somebody to drive him to Walmart. Can you do that?" And I stopped dead in my tracks, and I was like, "Are you kidding me? Of course I'll do that." So I put Walmart in the GPS, and I'm marking out the whole time we're driving there. I'm sitting next to Beautiful Bobby Eaton, and I'm like, "What does Beautiful Bobby Eaton have to get at Walmart?" I'm driving Beautiful Bobby Eaton. I had no idea what was going on, so I'm just talking to him. I'm like, "Hey, Mr. Beautiful Bobby Eaton, what is it that you need at Walmart?" He's like, "Well, I got to get me some athletic tape and some other stuff." So I was having a good time. And I tell you what, the owner of TCW called me one day, and he said, "What are you doing tomorrow morning?" And I said, "I'm not doing anything. What do you got in mind?" This was the day before the event.
Right.
He said, "Can you do me a favor?" I said, "Sure, what is it?" "Just name it. I'll do anything in the world for you." He said, "Can you go to the airport tomorrow afternoon and pick up Hacksaw Jim Duggan and Disco Inferno and Chris Cruz and Titan?" I mean, I can't even remember who else was there.
And your eyes are going, what?
Man, my jaw was on the floor. He's like, Clint, you there? And I said, yeah, I'm here. I will be there. So I was there probably about an hour early, and I walked into the airport, and Hacksaw Jim Duggan gets off the plane and walks through the terminal, and he's coming over to the baggage claim. You know he's looking for whoever his ride is, and I'm not sitting there with one of those hats on with a sign up that says Hacksaw on it.
Right,
so I throw my thumb high in the air and go, ho! And he looks over at me, and he just starts laughing. He walks over, and he shakes my hand. This man's hands are like skillets. I'm talking.
Oh, it's huge.
These are the biggest hands I've ever seen in my life. They swallowed my hand. And so he shakes my hand, and he said, you know what? Of all the years I've been doing this, I've never had anybody do that to me coming off an airplane. And I thought, wow, that's pretty good right there. So,
I got a similar story to that one. I mean, it's funny how we have similar stories.
You bet.
There used to be an independent wrestling promotion up here in Northwest Arkansas called World Wrestling Council.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing it. A guy named Adrian Steele was one of their big names. And they were doing a show in Siloam Springs, Arkansas at the National Guard Armory. Main event of the show was Greg the Hammer Valentine and Viscera. And so, you know, I'm surprised the ring didn't collapse. Viscera is a huge dude.
Well, he was down here in Fort Smith at a show not too long ago, I think at the end of last year. And, he's definitely, what is he, about 6'8", 6'9", and probably 500 pounds? I mean.
Oh, at least.
He's massive.
Yeah, so anyway, I'm hanging around talking to Adrian and some of the other guys. Well, they come up and they say, hey, Greg, you live in Springdale, right? I was living in Springdale, Arkansas at the time. I said, yeah. He says, can you give Valentine a ride back to the Holiday Inn? I'm like, no way.
Right.
Here, I'm driving a little rundown rinky-dink Chevy S10 pickup at the time. And I'm like, you want me to put Greg the Hammer Valentine in my truck when he deserves to be in something better and run him back to the Holiday Inn? Hell yes. Greg, get in the truck.
Right. You bet.
So we're driving back, and he says, hey, man, where's the nearest liquor store?
Wow.
So sure enough, there was just a liquor store right there. And so here comes Viscera. And I don't know if the girl was his girlfriend or his wife at the time, but he comes stumbling in. And so next thing I know, we're all back at their rooms at the Holiday Inn having a little blowout, you know.
Yeah.
But it's crazy. I mean, there is some of those guys, you know, they're nuts. The first one that comes to mind is Doink the Clown.
Oh, I've seen Doink in person several times.
Okay, but you've not seen my Doink. There's been several wrestlers over the year portray Doink the Clown.
Now you're talking about Matt Osborne, right?
No, I'm talking about Dusty Wolf.
Dusty Wolf.
Dusty Wolf was a jobber in WWE when Maniac Matt Bourne was Doink the Clown, because he was in WCW, went to WWE, and he started out with his own, with Maniac Matt Bourne. Well, then after a while, they put him under Doink the Clown. Well, when Matt Bourne decided he was getting out of wrestling and going back to Oregon, they said, well, hey, here's Dusty Wolf. He's built just like Matt Bourne, so we'll put him under the WWE. And like I said, there's been several. And I even asked Dusty Wolf about that. I said, Dusty, I was reading one of the magazines. I saw you were in North Carolina a couple of weeks ago. He said, he looked at me and he was honest about it. He says, Greg, there's so many guys using that gimmick now.
Well, you know, when they do these nostalgic Monday Night Raws and things like that, do you know who it is that plays Doink the Clown now?
The guy that's doing it now is the Brooklyn Brawler.
That's correct.
It, the Brooklyn Brawler, every time you see, like I say, when they do the nostalgia stuff, you know, they bring in the Brooklyn Brawler, because he works behind the scenes in the production side. But then when they do want to pull out, what's the word I'm looking for? When they want to shake the dust off Doink, they'll put it on Brooklyn Brawler, and the boy can still go.
He can.
I mean, and it's okay, you know. So, and it sounds like Matt Bourne can still go too if he's still doing it down there for.
He can. Matt Bourne and myself, we are actually friends on Facebook. I have sat and had conversations with him before at events. He's a great guy, and he definitely works hard. He can still go. And you know, he's still traveling around and doing his thing.
Just like Jim Duggan, you know, who would think after what he's going through that he's still able to go? He went through the cancer scare there for a while.
Right.
But he got over that, and he's still going. You know, and once in a while, Vince will call him up and say, "Hey, Hacksaw, come on up. We're gonna be somewhere. We want you to come in for an event." And he'll go.
That's true. You know, there's a lot of names in TCW now. You know, people will recognize, and you know, it's awesome. Go ahead.
I'm happy to see TCW catch on, because I first started hearing about TCW when they first started out, and you know, being around the game for 10 years, I was like, is it going to go or is it not? But now you look at them now. I mean, I'm like, okay, yeah, they're making it.
Yeah, there's so many. Especially the champions in TCW, there's a lot of names. You know, do you remember the Rock and Rave Infection?
Yeah.
Back in the day there, Lance Hoyt, you know, he was Lance Rock back in the day.
Right.
Lance Hoyt is actually the heavyweight champion right now. The international champion is the Golden Boy, Greg Anthony.
Right.
And that's one of the hardest workers in the business there. And there's so many other people. Alan Steele and Mr. Saturday Night, Michael Berry.
I have had many matches with Mr. Saturday Night. Woo!
He's my favorite of all time, to be honest with you. In fact, when my ex-wife and I got divorced, we were known as the Perfection Section. They were in a tag team called Genetic Perfection. And my wife and I, we had started the Perfection Section. And so when we split up, Mr. Saturday Night got a hold of me and he said, "I'm claiming you in the divorce. So you're on my side." But you know, even Chris Masters from the WWE, he wrestles under the name Chris Adonis now. He's with TCW.
Right.
Who else we got on here? Of course,
Gary Graham.
Yeah, Lance Hoyt. Yeah, Roosevelt's in there. Tommy Dreamer is on the website. Tommy Dreamer shows up a lot of times. Chris Cruz. Chris Cruz, one of the best announcers. I don't know if he's still with them now or not, but I know he was there at one time. And Tim Storm. Tim Storm's got to be the hardest working independent wrestler I've ever seen. And another guy, shout out to Sigmund. Sigmund's also a very, very hard worker. And,
right.
You're
talking about Tim Storm. I mean, I have him on my Facebook, and it seems like every week he's posting pictures from somewhere.
Yeah, he's the hardest independent wrestler, hardest working independent wrestler I've ever seen, and hands down. I don't care what anybody says. So, he knows how to do it. And you know, I don't support him when I'm at the events, because it always seems he's fighting somebody, you know, a heel or something that I'm always rooting for. So it's rare that I've ever been able to root for Tim Storm while I'm there. But outside of the events, I mean, man, I've got his back any time of the day. He's one of the best ever.
Right.
And then you've got Matt Riviera, you know, the owner of the company.
Oh.
I mean, he's been on Megan Wants a Millionaire on VH1. He was on this past season of Millionaire Matchmaker. And just a great all around guy, and he's the reason why this is why traditional wrestling is in this area, why we are able to see a type of traditional wrestling that nobody else can bring to the table. You know, there's not a lot of frills and spotlights and all that stuff that go along with it, but it is a major production. I mean, they've got a television show. They release it on YouTube every Monday night, and they also have TCW Radio on blogtalkradio.com with Tom Simon, and they've got it going on. They honestly, it's one of the best promotions I've ever been able to see.
Okay, well, I'm going to deal, and I'm going to ask you this question because I still have, I'm old school. I mean, I remember the days of Dusty Rhodes, Captain Redneck, Dick Murdoch, those guys. So I'm going to ask you, old school or high flyers?
Oh, there's more old school with this than anything. And that's what I love about TCW. That it is, it's in the name, traditional championship wrestling. This is traditional to a T, and it would make any old school wrestling fan, proud to be a part of it. I mean, of course, you've got your smaller guys that can do some high flying stuff, and they can do some backflips off the top rope and things like that. But that's kind of more of the day and age that we're moving into with professional wrestling. But the majority of this is good down home traditional wrestling, and it's what everybody comes to see. So it's amazing to watch one of their events.
Well, I'm going to admit one of the things, once again showing my age, I'm going to admit one of the reasons I like TCW is their heavyweight championship belt.
Ah, the design.
I was always a big fan of the old Mid-South UWF North American title belt.
Right.
And that's what their belt is. It's a modern version of the old Mid-South North American title. And I
yep.
love that.
Yeah, it's a stylish, it's a classy looking, and I don't know if they fashioned it after that or not, but it does resemble it, and it's good to see stuff like that. And it's not that they're, knocking it off or ripping it off or copying it. It's just the fact that that is the tradition that people remember and the tradition that people respect. And TCW is bringing that back to the fans. There's so many friends of mine and even myself, I sit around and say, if the WWE would just bring back the WCW brand, if they would just bring that back, get rid of SmackDown. Nobody cares about, nobody even watches SmackDown. But if they would get rid of SmackDown and bring back the WCW name, the WCW brand, and throw some of the originals back in it or some of the guys that came over from there, that would, that's ratings right there. That's traditional wrestling.
That's
what people will see.
It's gold.
You bet.
I mean, I actually participated in a survey one time, and it was about world title belt. And it was and I had the different pictures from various promotions and everything, but it was rank your top five championship belts.
Mm-hmm.
And my top five championship belts was the original, was the big green belt, Hulk Hogan defeated Iron Sheik.
Yes.
I don't know if you remember that belt, but I remember that belt. I mean, just like it was yesterday.
Right.
I had that belt at number five. At number four, I had the Attitude Era WWE or WWF Championship belt when they went from the Bret Hart belt to the Rock belt, which was kind of a modern version of the Bret Hart belt, but it was, a more modern-looking version of it.
Mm-hmm.
I had that belt at number four. At number three, I had the WCCW-AWA Unified Heavyweight Championship belt that Jerry Lawler and Kerry Von Erich killed.
Wow.
At number two, I had the Mid-South American belt, which is, it's just like the TCW belt that we were just talking about, except it has the TCW name.
Right.
But then the number one belt in my book has always been Ric Flair's big gold WCW world title.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always going to be the greatest belt in the history of wrestling right there.
I mean, you, in my opinion, you look at that belt and it just exudes. I mean, it screams World Heavyweight Championship belt.
Yeah, yeah. There's nothing like that belt ever.
And the original belt wasn't even made by a belt maker.
Mm-hmm.
The original version of that belt was made by a saddle maker. Ric Flair commissioned the guy himself, and that's why you notice, if you'll look back at the very early pictures of that belt, when Ric Flair first brought it out on Saturday Night Wrestling out of Georgia, it was on a brown strap.
Yeah. That's true. Nowadays they've got the World Heavyweight Championship on a a reddish brown strap. Have you noticed that?
Yeah. Well, I think it's still a black strap, but on the back side they have that red snake lizard.
That's it. That's what I was talking
lizard
about.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like I say, I mean, belts can come and go, but in my opinion, that's always going to be the epitome of all championship belts right there. Right there is the original big gold WCW world title.
Yeah, I don't think there's any argument to that whatsoever. And I think if somebody does argue with that, I think they're a little off track, I believe. So, it's one of those, that belt is one of those things that goes hand in hand with tradition, and it goes hand in hand with championship caliber, and it goes hand in hand with greatness, in my opinion.
Right. Now, I want to ask you this question because, you know, I've asked several people this question, especially my friends in that follow professional wrestling as long as you and me have. Best, I already have my answer right there. You know, it's just stuck right there at the front of my head. Best wrestler never to hold a world heavyweight title.
I would have to go with Rowdy Roddy Piper, but there's other, did Magnum TA, did he ever hold the World Heavyweight Championship?
No, Magnum never held the world title.
You know, I would have to throw him in the mix because I knew he was in the race for it there for a while, and then he had that accident. I'm going to tell you one thing. Magnum TA was the absolute greatest wrestler that never got to fulfill his destiny with this in,
right.
In the entire
thing. His career was cut way short, way too soon.
Way too short. Yeah, it was. I look back at some of the things that he has done. I look back at a lot of the footage, a lot of the matches that took place back then, and out of that entire era, Scott Hall is always going to be my favorite of all time, bar none, hands down. No matter what, I don't care about Hulk Hogan. I don't care about any of these other guys. Scott Hall is always going to be my favorite. And, but Magnum TA, I think, is the absolute greatest that never happened. But
right.
as far as the best that never held a world title, I would have to say, I love Scott Hall to death, but I would have to say Rowdy Roddy Piper would have to be the one, you know.
We're going to differ right there because first name that pops out of my head, best wrestler never to hold a world heavyweight title, AA, Arn Anderson.
You know, that's a good argument too. I can see where you're coming from on that.
I mean, I was always a claw. You know, you had the Horsemen. They were doing whatever it took to help Flair keep the belt. But I was always a closet AA fan.
But, you know, another thing to go along with that, and there's another guy that I would have to throw in the mix these days who has never held a world title. And look at, I don't know who your opinion of the greatest tag team, the most accomplished tag team in history is. I think the most accomplished tag team is the Dudley Boys. And, you know, Devon, I mean, this is the first time Bubba Ray has ever held a world title, and it's with TNA.
Right.
But Devon's never held a world title. You know, he's held that television title and an ungodly amount of tag team titles, 24 or 25, somewhere in there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but he's just, you know, and up until this point, you know, I'm watching late 2002 of all the Monday Night Raws, because when I was in the Navy, I got deployed to the Persian Gulf there in late 2002 and early 2003 to mid 2003. And I missed all those Monday Night Raws, and I'm watching those now. And Bubba Ray Dudley was in the mix. He was up in Triple H's face all the time when Bischoff came out and handed Triple H that World Heavyweight Championship. And Bubba Ray Dudley wasn't happy with that. So he was kind of in the title mix there for a while, but he never got to hold it. And up until, you know, here a few months ago, when he won that World Heavyweight Championship from Jeff Hardy, you know, the Dudley boys were two of the best, in my book, that I had ever seen in my life that had never held a world title.
Right. Well, you know, talking about overall tag teams, once again, we're close. I got Dudley boys second.
You got Double A. And,
nope. LOD.
And only, you know what? As far as gimmick wise, I think they're the best tag team. You know, there's just never been maybe the New Age Outlaws, maybe Road Dogg and Billy Gunn. As far as gimmick goes, but you know, I don't know. I'm just not a big LOD fan. I never was, and I just didn't get the shoulder pads and spikes and the makeup, and I just wasn't down with that.
Right, but you know, you got to look at them. You know, they held the AWA titles. Dudley Boys never held those. They held I think that's the only belt that the LODs held. That the Dudley Boys, Rock and Roll Rock and Roll Express. But I know between LOD and the Dudley Boys were never AWA world champions.
But that wasn't their era, though. That wasn't their time
right.
period. So, you know, it's kind of hard to say, you know, they never held those. I mean, that's pretty much a given, because that was their, you know, they were out of that era.
Yeah,
but
time frame.
Yeah,
they came along. Dudley Boys came along right as AWA was fizzling out.
Right, but you know, that would be like saying, well, the LOD never held the TNA World Tag Team titles. You know, that it just wasn't around when LOD was
right.
You know, when they were big. So, but you know, I'm not that big of an LOD fan. I've got to always think that. You know, I mean, there's three, and this shows my age. I mean, when the Monday Night Wars were going down, I was in high school. You know, when the Attitude Era started, I was in high school. And
right.
You know, I mean, I'm 31 years old now, and I look back, you know, the three best tag teams I've ever seen, the Hardy Boys, number three, Edge and Christian, number two, and Dudley Boys, number one. I mean, that's where I've got them ranked. But, you know, I can look back at the NWA days and look at Arn and Ole and say, yeah, these guys were hands down one of the greatest. But, you know, it wasn't my era. I never saw them. So
it wasn't the era. And then you got the Steiner brothers when they were running good.
True.
You know, you had the Rock and Roll Express, and then you had the AWA ripoffs, the Midnight Rockers. who turned out to be the Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels, you know.
Right. Yeah, that was one of those. You know, and not a lot of people know this, but there were two people who tag-teamed together before they ever made a splash, and that was the Dingo Warrior and...
Well, yeah, Sting.
And Sting. It was Ultimate Warrior and Sting. They were a tag team before anybody knew just who in the world they really were.
Yeah, because it's funny you talk about that. I'm always carousing YouTube for stuff, and there was actually before they went to Mid-South, where they really got their start under Eddie Gilbert as the Blade Runners. They were over in Memphis. I forget what Team America or something like that, but they were wrestling. They were wrestling under their real names. Jim Hellwig, Steve Borden,
mm-hmm.
but they were only there for like 6 months, and they caught Bill Watts' eye, and Bill Watt said, "Hey, come to Tulsa. We're going to put you guys together," and the Blade Runners were born.
There you go.
Part of Hot Stuff International. With yep. Eddie Gilbert, Missy Hyatt, Rick Steiner when he was first starting out.
You know, speaking of the Steiners, they're actually supposed to be teaming together somewhere here pretty quick.
Really? I had not heard that.
I read something. I read a lot on WrestleZone.com. I've got a good friend of mine, Chris Cash. He writes for WrestleZone. He hosts VOW Live, Voice of Wrestling Live. And I was reading on WrestleZone the other day, and I'm trying to find it now. But, yeah, they're supposed to be making an appearance at an event somewhere here pretty quick. And I'm trying
cool.
to – I'm looking for that right now. I want to pull that up. But I'm looking at wrestling news all over here, and I can't find where that article was. But I'm sure if you spent time looking this thing up, I'm sure you'd find it. But they're supposed to get back together,
for
a little event here, and
right.
But yeah, you know that I could afford to watch that tag team again at some point.
Oh yeah. I mean, I was talking about it, one of the most intense wrestling matches I've ever seen, and everybody would think it would be, you know, Triple H, Brock Lesnar, or one of those. It was a Ric Flair match.
Mm-hmm.
Ric Flair against Tatsumi the Dragon Fujinami.
Oh, gosh, that's going way back.
That's going way back. I mean, because they had the big match in Japan that went to a draw or something like that. So they were on one of the tours of Japan. So they said, well, hey, our next pay-per-view back in the United States, and I forget the name of the pay-per-view, but they had that as the main event. And I remember Fujinami and Ric Flair just beating each other so silly that the capillaries in their chest were popping.
Wow.
I mean, Ric Flair's chest, because Fujinami was legendary for having chops like Flair in Japan.
Yeah.
I mean, Flair and Fujinami, their chest looked like raw meat by the time they were done.
Wow.
So I've got to honestly say that that's probably one of the most intense matches I've ever seen. My all-time favorite match, War Games.
All right, I'm with you.
War Games, the match beyond. That has got something about two rings completely surrounded in steel,
mm-hmm.
nowhere to run. You can't crawl out the top. You know, there's just something about that particular match that just, every time I heard about that being on a pay-per-view, I'm like, ooh, start saving my money now.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and there's a lot of places where you can start finding, and this may be something I have to private message you about elsewhere, but you know, there's a lot of places where you could find all of those War Games events from the early days on up until they stopped doing it, and I can point you in the right direction, because you know, if you're talking to a guy that's got every Monday Nitro that ever existed on a hard drive, I can definitely lead you to the promised land of wrestling here. So
well, I might have to take you up on that. Well, man, hey, Clint, it's been a blast having you on the show today, brother.
I appreciate you having me.
It has been a blast. I mean, you know, you're always welcome on my show anytime you're available. You're welcome to call in anytime.
Likewise.
So, all right. Well, don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, this is Clint, XFI Live, Friday, 12 noon. He's going to be on there. So get more information about Extreme Fighting, Inc., Fort Smith, June 29th. We'll be back here tomorrow on the Greg Squirrel Show, so we're going to buzz on out of here. Clint, appreciate you, brother.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your listeners as well.
All right. Talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.
All righty.